How do you start a novel? Walter Mosley has a suggestion. Just sit down and start writing. Lamont had only enough cash to buy half a pint of whiskey at Bobo's Liquor Emporium, but he knew it wouldn't be enough. Ragman was dead, and that was at least a quart's worth of mourning. What does it mean? How should I know? Asks Mosley. Those were the first words to come out. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to keep on writing until either something clicks or I lose momentum. The author, best known for his Easy Rawlins and Fearless Jones mysteries, has distilled everything he knows about writing a novel into a 25,000-word book whose aim is expressed in its title. This year, you write your novel. Among many other things, he advises that you don't have the time to wait for inspiration. If you have practical questions about how to start, narrative voice, or the difference between plot and story, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Walter Mosley is the author of 25 books, including the Easy Rawlins and Fearless Jones mysteries. He joins us from our bureau in New York. It's nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks a lot.
And I know you take the timetable you've laid out to 1 year very seriously, but you say you don't have time to wait for inspiration?
No, not at all. I think most people use that time waiting in order to keep themselves from writing. Also, if you aren't writing every day, you're going to lose the thread of your novel, and it's never going to work.
Not writing every day. You go back to this time and time again. You must write every day. How long?
Absolutely. No less than an hour and a half. I don't expect anybody to write more than 3 hours. I just expect it every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
And no vacations, you write, if you're having a dental crisis, put your characters in the dentist's office.
Then you put your character in the dentist's office, give them a toothache, and you keep on with your story. And you can take a vacation. It's just the first couple hours in the morning. You work on your novel on the vacation.
Mm-hmm. In that sense that you're talking about what you describe as the dream of the novel, in fact, you say later in the book, once you're done with the first draft, you're going to discover that two people were writing it.
Yeah, well, there's the conscious self that was creating the story, thinking of the story, remembering the story. And then there's this unconscious self where ideas, notions, thoughts, ideas, they just appear inside the text. And when you come through on that second draft, which is just a reading of the first draft, you find there's all this stuff there that you really didn't know was there.
And another thing that you continually advise your would-be writer is don't worry if what you're writing isn't very good.
Well, I mean, all art. The first draft, the first thing that you do, it's going to be flawed. It might not be really bad, but it's not going to be good enough to hang in a gallery to be published by some publisher. You have to work at it. You have to work and rework and rework. Rewriting is when the novel really begins, after you've gotten that first draft down.
Mm-hmm. There's several points at which I have to point out to you that several points in your book in which you say, well, now that you're done with that, here's where the real work begins.
I say it more than once.
Huh? I think you say it about the mid part of the novel as well. You know, hard to begin, also hard to end. But the mid part of the novel, that's where the real work is.
It is the real work, though it's not where the real work begins. In the beginning, in the middle of the novel is where most people get lost, because you understand what a beginning is. You understand what an end is. But how do you keep those arcs of various stories going along and keeping your story working?
Mm-hmm. That's difficult work, but your advice is that you have to remember that it's not just one story. It's an accumulation of stories.
Well, there is at least as many stories as there are characters, probably more, because those characters have relationships. And then there are situations in those characters' lives which are beyond them. All of these things are stories, and the stories come together. The arcs of those stories come together and create the geometric structure, which is your novel.
Mm-hmm. If you have questions for Walter Mosley about how to write your novel in 1 year, well, we're not going to promise you we can save you the $19.99 you could have spent for this year you write your novel. But if you have questions, we might be able to resolve some of them for you. Give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. Jeff is on the line. Jeff calling us from California.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air, Jeff. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just wondering if an outline is necessary, advisable in preparing to write a novel. I know that J.K. Rowling said that she did a lot of preparatory work. And is an outline the same thing that she did, or do you recommend?
It's a difficult question to answer. It depends on you more than on what I would tell you. Some writers are structured writers, meaning to say they already know what the story is. They know how they want to tell that story. They just haven't figured out how to write fiction. That writer is definitely going to write an outline because they want to get all their thoughts together. Some writers are intuitionists. They just start writing, like the example that Neil gave.
Mm-hmm.
You just start writing, and you start to discover the novel along the way. You're not interested in an outline. That depends on you, and that's something you'll discover on the way. If there's a novel that you want to write, but you haven't been able to write it, the first thing you should do is write an outline to see what that story looks like. But if you just want to start writing,
where do you go to find an outline, or how do you write an outline?
Oh, it's the simplest thing possible. What happened first? What happened second? What happened third?
There's another difficult question, and by the way, thanks very much for the call, Jeff, and good luck with your novel. The difficult question you raise, and the difference between the story and the plot.
Well, you know, a story is a very interesting notion. A story is a beginning, a middle, and an end, not necessarily in that order. The plot is something else. The plot is the structure of revelation. The plot is when you find out important things about that story, about that character, about relationships of characters. The plot makes the reader want to read more. And that's how I see the difference. I separate them out in a structure because most people don't. Most people don't even think about it. Many writers don't know the difference because they haven't really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it. They just do it automatically.
And plot, you say, contains the potential for the element of surprise.
Yes, well, you have to be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Novels have to surprise you. And they have to surprise you in a good way, not to make you angry. Excuse me, my voice is very thick because I got a cold traveling.
And I think that was Walter Mosley pressing the cough button there in the studio in New York so he could cough without us hearing it. So are you back?
I am indeed.
All right. Maybe we can get you some water up there in the New York Bureau. In any case, let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And this is Vito. Is that right? Vito with us from Carson City, Nevada.
That's correct.
Go ahead, please.
I don't have a question. I'm a huge fan. I'm a correctional educator in Carson City, and I've used Always Outnumbered, Always Outgunned as a novel to teach literature to inmate students. And it has a very profound effect on them. As a teacher, I'm able to teach the conventions that everybody needs to learn with structure of a story. But it's hard to find content that the students are interested in. And your novel was very effective as a tool to teach and to get people interested in literature. And I wanted to thank you for the work you've done and just to let you know that that we're using your material in literature classes.
I want to thank you for doing that.
Well, I tell you, I saw the movie. I believe Lawrence Fishburne played the lead character.
Yes, Socrates Thutler. Yeah.
And I saw that, and I thought it'd be a great content for students to take a bite out of, especially the men that are in the situation where I have them. And I bought the novel, read it, and recognized the literary value in it as well as the entertainment value in it. And it really had a great impact on my students. And it allowed us to explore those things that you're talking about as a writer, all the different conventions that
and so these
love to
students of yours are writing stories?
Yeah, we do some creative writing also. You know, it's a world literature class, and in my class I have a bunch of different courses, so it's hard to do class assignments. But one that are assignments that really are effective are those that everybody can get into. And your novel really has allowed me to explore literature with my students.
And one of the wonderful things, one of the reasons I wrote this book is that when somebody can tell a story, they can also appreciate a story. Once you begin to learn how to tell a story, you can appreciate them. And certainly, that book talking about a black man out of prison, would be, I imagine it would be good for people to read in prison.
Though he said he was a correctional educator, for a minute I thought that was the same as an editor.
No, sir. It's just I appreciate your time, and I just wanted to. I'm actually returning to work right now after lunch, and I have to get in. But I wanted to thank you for your novel, and to just let you know that we're using it to study literature here in Nevada.
Thank you so much,
and thanks for the call.
Thank you, sir.
Here's an email question from D.P. Lundy in Seattle. Mr. Mosley says, to write every day in the morning, is there a specific reason he mentions morning as the time of the day to write, or is that an arbitrary thing?
No, I write in the morning. Other people, who knows when they write? Octavia Butler, I think she would go to bed at 4 and wake up at 2 in the morning and write from 2 until 8 or something like that. Some people only work in the middle of the night. Some people work in the middle of the day. Whatever's the best for you.
Yeah, whatever it is, except the important thing, again, put your butt in the chair and write.
Yeah, every day. And don't get up from the chair. Stay there.
Stay there until you've finished whatever arbitrary number of words that you've assigned yourself for anywhere from 600 to 1,500?
Yeah, 600 to 1,000 is good for each day.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line, and let's go to Hillary. Hillary with us from Michigan.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, thank you for taking my call. I've written a lot of creative writing, a lot of poetry, and I recently came across some memoirs that I had written when my first child, my daughter, was a baby, and I was very isolated. And I wrote, I just came across it. It's, you know, she's 10 years old now. And I was wondering, how can you make a story out of memoirs? That was my question.
Well, I would suggest is to have the memoir somewhere in the room, mm-hmm. and to start writing the story. Maybe you'll refer to it. Maybe you won't refer to it. But you have it somewhere in the room, which is kind of metaphorical. It's kind of in your mind, on your mind. You'll sit down and you'll start writing a story about a character. Maybe that character's you. Maybe it has your name. Maybe not. Maybe somebody else. And you start telling the story. Every once in a while, you might want to go look at the memoir and see what it's saying, if it's following, if it's guiding you along, or if maybe you found a new path. You know, it's very hard to tell. You don't want to tie yourself down to a structure that may not work for you. But this is the place that you're leaving from. This is propelling you forward.
Mm. Well, that's a really good suggestion, because I found myself trying to rewrite it as though that was the first draft.
No.
And I was no longer 10 years ago. You know, that wasn't the present anymore. And I've changed and grown so much since then. I couldn't go anywhere from there. Mm. So
I think it would be very difficult to treat different sections of a memoir that was written, you know, for a particular. And it's not like a memoir, like a published memoir, but you're writing, and you know, it's it doesn't necessarily have a structure. You're trying to discover that structure, so you have to start from the beginning.
Hmm. Yes, thank you very much.
And good luck, Hillary.
Okay, thank you, Neil.
Bye bye. We're talking with Walter Mosley. His new book is This Year You Write Your Novel. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And one of the things that you write in your book a couple of times is that the book needs to be, in some respects, pedestrian. And you repeat that again when you're talking about dialogue, that the dialogue needs to be pedestrian. Why would you tell writers to make their characters speak like ordinary people?
Because people look for themselves in novels. People look for themselves, and then they look for some kind of transcendence. And so first you have to find yourself in the book. A guy who talks like you, or somebody you know, or a woman who talks like you, or somebody you know, in a situation, maybe scrambling eggs, maybe falling down and skinning their knee and having trouble walking for a couple of chapters of the novels. This makes a real character that the reader can identify with. And so once the reader understands and identifies with this main character, then we can bring them to a further level. If you start off on the whole level that's above human experience, the novel doesn't really touch your humanity.
Hmm. You also write about, that the novel is in the details, yet you also advise that you can get lost in details.
Well, there's so many details in life. If you just look around the room you're sitting in order to write down every detail of the room that you're in, the physical details, maybe other people doing things in that room, the history of the room possibly, you'd write hundreds and hundreds of pages. Mm-hmm. And so you only have to pick out the major details. And those details either have to do with the story, the development of the story, the characters, how those characters are feeling, and how those characters are interacting. Those are the only details that you can really afford to put in your novel. Once you understand that, choosing details becomes a very simple thing.
Mm-hmm. Here's a comment we got from our blog from a writer named Tom. Writing a novel, the temptation is to emphasize the thinking rather than the actions of characters. Please comment on this. Is it possible to overemphasize thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I think that that we live in very physical worlds, and novels are very physical things. It's a we're talking about how people move forward and how those how their movement affects their emotional life, because the novel is about the psyche, and the psyche is, I think, a little bit more emotional than it is intellectual. There's a lot that the characters don't understand, don't know. Maybe the reader understands about the character, but the characters themselves may not understand very much about themselves at all. I think novels are very, very physical, and that the more physical you can make a book, the more powerful that book will be emotionally.
Mm. Every book, you say, no matter what time period in which you set it, every book is about today.
Yeah, if you're writing a novel today, you're writing a book about today. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, doing a rewrite of the Three Musketeers or about cavemen or, you know, 35,000 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
You're addressing this world today. So, you know, when Bradbury writes Fahrenheit 451, he's not talking about some far future where people are burning up books. He's talking about our minds and our lives today.
And that's why sometimes you read certainly old science fiction or old period pieces, and they just feel old.
Yeah, because any book that you read that, you know, comes from another time is about that time. There are also universally qualities to novels. I mean, if you're very good or maybe unconsciously very good, your book may speak to people 10,000 years from now. Mm. But that's really not what a novelist should be worrying about. It's hard enough just to tell that story, to develop those characters in a language which is interesting and engaging, which unfolds in a way where the reader says, I wonder what happens next, and they keep turning the page.
Yeah, don't get yourself in a battle with Homer. You know.
Yeah, right.
We're speaking with Walter Mosley. We'll have more with him when we come back from a break. If you have questions about how to get started with your novel, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or email us, talk@npr.org. Again, you can also join the conversation on our blog. That's at npr.org, blog of the nation, all one word. A little later, we'll also take you back to the convocation on the campus at Virginia Tech University. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Today, we're talking with Walter Mosley about his new book, This Year You Write Your Novel. You can read his tips for how to start your novel at the Talk of the Nation page at npr.org. If you have practical questions for him about writing a novel, narrative voice, the difference between plot and story, give us a call at 800-989-8255. Send us an email, talk@npr.org, or join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And let's see if we can go to another caller. This is Akila. Akila's with us from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And my question, I'm an inspirational writer, and one day I sat at my table and I thought of this, if I were to die today, what would I like to say?
Mm-hmm.
And the novel starts with the day this guy is admitted to the hospital, and span is like less than 24 hours, and I kind of visit his past and what would he like to tell to his wife and his children who he doesn't meet at the in his deathbed. He's in the hospital, so I wrote the whole story, and it's like just 15 pages long.
It's a little short for a novel.
Yeah, I want to know how I can make it longer.
Well, you know, that's a really difficult question. The first thing you do is you ask the story, does it want to be longer? Is it missing something? Does it need more? Does the reader need to know more? The most important thing about any book that you write is that the character goes through a major transition. They start off in one place in their life, and they end up at another place in their life. And the reader goes through that transition with them. That is the transcendence for the reader itself, themselves. And so the only question I would ask is if there is a real transition in this character, the character really learns something, or at least the reader learns something about this character that the character may not realize or know, then maybe it's finished and maybe it doesn't want to be a novel. I don't know. I can't say. You know, that's up to you, and also what the story has to say to you.
I can only think of things like I did not go through in detail of the city, the description of all those things, because I thought the most important part was people should feel that like leaving a will for your children or whoever mm-hmm. is alive, like that you should leave a journal of like, if I were to die today, what would I like to say to my 9-year-old daughter when she is 15 or 20 or 30, that kind of a stuff. I wanted people to realize that it would be nice to leave something like that. And
mm-hmm. and it would be nice to leave something like that, but maybe it just wants to be 15 pages, I think is what we're hearing. Keila, thanks very much for the phone call. Here's an email we got from Aaron in Aurora, Colorado. Why do so many writers who claim to love writing, like myself, procrastinate getting their butt into the chair to tackle their story? This seems quite a common problem amongst writers.
A lot of writers are afraid of writing. They're afraid of it for a lot of reasons. The first one is that as you write more and more every day, real material starts rising up from unconscious parts of you, and it's frightening material. A lot of things that you say or that you find or that you feel you don't want to write about. Another thing is people are really afraid that they're writing about their mother or their father or somebody who's very close to them,
uh-huh.
and they don't want anybody to know that they're putting them in this book, and so they back away from it. There are all kinds of issues, psychological and emotional, having to do with fear, keeping people from writing their books. What is very important is to write every day. It doesn't really matter what happens while you're writing every day. It doesn't matter if it's good or it's bad or you don't want to or you do want to. None of that matters. The thing is, and as you write and as you get deeper and deeper into it, sooner or later, for most people, there will be a breakthrough. And that procrastination, that urge to procrastinate will stop. Hmm. But if you write every day for the next 365 days, you will not have procrastinated at all.
But if you're writing 1,000 words a day, I'm just calculating, you're likely to finish, in about 3 months?
In the first 3 months, you'll write your first draft. The next 9 months, you start rewriting.
Aha.
And that rewriting is just the same as the first 3 months.
Hmm.
You're reading it, you're writing it, you're changing it, you're discovering what your story was, like the woman was asking before. You're discovering where it wants to go, how it wants to be, how it wants to be structured. I actually, one of the things that she was saying, I think the idea of a will being the structure of a novel is extraordinary.
Hmm.
That if somebody writes out a will in which they leave various things to various people and organizations, and those people and organizations become chapters of that novel, that would be kind of wonderful.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't able to say it to her, but I'm not sure that's not what she wanted, but that's what came to my mind.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line. This is Pat. Pat with us from Richmond, California.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have 13 boxes of my mother's journals, and she was a great unpublished writer. She has a very interesting kind of tragic life. She had a lot of things unsaid and undone when she died. And what I'd like to do is take... I'm going through them, and it's very painful. She's very poetic and very erudite. And how do I take her journals and write the conversation that I would have liked to have had with her?
That's a very difficult question.
As a response to her journals.
Well, I think the response is what's important. I mean, the journals, the journals are written, they exist. And, it may be, for other reasons, you're going to read through all those journals and know all those things. But the response, that's from you. And if it's a novel, then you might take bits and pieces from the journal. But what you'll discover is that most of the information in your novel, which is a response to these journals that exist, will be unique and will be yours. It won't be hers.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. But
Just start writing. The thing is, don't be weighed down by the 13 boxes.
Okay, thank you.
Keep the boxes somewhere in the house, in the room, whatever. But just put the blank piece of paper in front of you and start writing there.
I'm talking. I'd like to literally take bits and pieces or episodes in the journal and publish them with my response as a novel.
Well, I don't see that. However, the only thing I can say about it is following. You know, really. You don't have to follow my book. I'm not trying to say everybody needs to do it. But if you did, what you would do is you would sit down today for 3 hours, and you would start doing just what you said. And tomorrow you would do it, and the next day you would do it, and the next day you would do it. As you go on, you're going to discover your path. There's no one can tell you before you begin where you're going. You have to discover that in your own writing. So, If you want to have these responses, start reading the novels, the journal. Sit down to the page and just start writing, and you'll find out where you'll go. Maybe it'll be something different.
Good luck, Pat.
Thank you very much.
Here's an email question. This from Anthony. I write primarily poetry and short stories. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to editing, reading from the top all the way to my stopping point from the previous day. How do you manage to edit a novel-length piece scene by scene and still maintain an all-encompassing view of the novel?
Well, novels are a lot easier to write than either short stories or poems. As E.M. Forster said, it's 50,000 words, more or less, of spongy prose. You write today your 600 words. The next day, you read those 600 words, making little tiny changes, and you write your next 600. The next day, you read that 600 you wrote the day before, and you write the next 600. You write the whole novel without worrying so much about being a perfectionist or whatever. You just get it all down. And then you start going through the novel again and again. It's like combing very matted hair. You just, you know, you have this big mat of hair, and you got the comb. You just start to work. You comb and you comb and you comb. And you discover things as you go along. Some of them you get rid of. Some of them you keep.
How do you know when you're done?
You know when you're done when there's nothing you can do that can make the book better. It's never going to be perfect. But when no matter what you do, that what you've written is the closest you can get to that story you're trying to tell, that's when you're done.
Mm-hmm. There is another question, and that is a lot of people would like to see their novels published. How do you get your novel published?
You know, a writer is the least likely person to have that information. It's an interesting thing because everybody thinks we do have it, but we all came to it from different ways. It's interesting to join a writing workshop, not so much for hearing what people have to say about your writing, but to meet other people who are writing and are interested in writing and who are teaching writing. These people have, you know, connections, know different people. They might know of an editor, of an agent somewhere. You need an agent to get a novel published. It's almost definite. You try to find an agent. How do you do that? You look at other books that have been published that seem to have something to do with the book that you're writing. You call the publisher. You ask who the agent is. You call the agent, and you say, can I send you a letter of inquiry? And, you know, in any of the things, Writer's Market, any of those things can tell you, you know, how to write a letter of inquiry to an agent. The only thing I always say is never go to an agent that charges you money, because the agent should be wanting to make you money, not making money off of you.
Let's get one last call in for Walter Mosley. This is Dylan. Dylan with us from Oregon.
Hey, guys. I was wondering, I'm really busy in my life, you know, but I find myself, I'm in the car a lot, and so... You know, I'd always come up with these, like, what I thought were pretty neat ideas for parts of my stories or whatever. But I often find that when I get home, I lose the thought and can't really go back to it. So I finally ended up getting, a digital voice recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm essentially telling the story to myself in the car. And then, you know... It might even be 2 or 3 days later where I revisit the recording and then kind of, you know, write it down at that point. I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts on that were, and also just suggesting that to other people who may be busy in their lives to get a little digital voice recorder. You know, you might just have this fleeting thought that's really brilliant, and then it goes away, you know?
Walter Mosley, I think the response is going to be you violate the first rule, which is to write every day. But go ahead, Walter.
Yeah, well, that's it. I have nothing against digital recorders. As a matter of fact, if somebody wants to write a novel by speaking it, I have nothing against that. I think that's a perfectly fine way to go about writing your novel. But I do think that you need to write every day. I'm less interested in genius and brilliance and more interested in depth and discovery. Uh-huh. What happens is that if you write today and tomorrow and the next day, 65 days out, you're so much deeper into yourself than you were on that first day. But if any time along that way you take more than 2 or 3 days off of it, you're going to be as far away from it as you were on the first day. And so the idea of a conscious moment of brilliance is, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that it for me, it's less important than that, you know, digging and digging and digging deeper and deeper every day until the novel has an absolute structure to itself, which is both pedestrian and transcendent.
Dylan, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
Good luck. And Walter Mosley, before we let you go, did you write for an hour and a half this morning?
I did indeed.
And did you write your character with a cough?
No, because I was toward the end of a rewrite, and I couldn't insert a cough into the character. But I might have. Hmm. Had I been writing it as a first draft.
Well, we thank you for taking the time, especially with your cold from your travels, to give us some lessons on how to finish our novel in 1 year. We appreciate your time today.
And I really appreciate how closely you read the book. It makes me feel very happy.
Well, thank you for that. Walter Mosley was our guest. He's the author of 25 books, including, of course, the Easy Rawlins Mysteries. He's written a new book, This Year You Write Your Novel. He joined us today from our bureau in New York, where he suffered through a cold, to tell us the stories of writing every single day, at least an hour and a half. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.